Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Well, I respect and we respect that person's beliefs. That person's not going to get on an airplane.
Okay. There will be no exceptions just because of religion.
People choose to worship God as they please. Islam flourishes, but so do other faiths.
To meet its moral obligations to the Iraqi people, it is critically important that the United States take additional steps now to help Iraq protect its citizens, especially Christians, and others who are victims of organized attacks.
Luther doesn't want us to find our predestination in eternity past. Luther wants us to find it in the wounds of Jesus Christ, in His Word, and in His sacraments.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Isn't it Blanche DuBois? Streetcar Named Desire, I've always depended on the kindness of strangers. You know, if you think about much of what has happened by way of the church's ministry throughout its long history, it has been dependent upon the kindness and the generosity of strangers. There is a long history of what we could call patronage in the church. That is, people of means who have, out of faith in Jesus Christ and a desire to serve their neighbor, funded the church and its many acts of mercy in addition to preaching the gospel. We remember one, Elizabeth of Hungary, in the 13th century, here on Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, November the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Larry Rast will join us to talk about Elizabeth of Hungary. Then Scott Klusendorf will talk about that couple that's letting the internet decide if they should abort their baby. Then we play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or by email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Dr. Larry Rast is a regular guest. He's professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
Well, as part of my pastoral duties, the congregation where I serve, because my senior pastor is off on one of those LCMS junkets, board of directors thing, I'm in charge of taking care of the flock while he's gone. And tonight, I'm going to St. Elizabeth's Hospital to visit a parishioner. Is this the same St. Elizabeth?
There's a pretty good chance of that. In fact, many of the St. Elizabeth's hospitals that are around, at least the ones I'm familiar with here in the United States, are named after Elizabeth of Hungary, or as others would call her, Elizabeth of Thuringia.
Who is this woman, and why do we name things after her?
Interesting person, about whom I knew very little until, I think it was 2007, went with a group of people to the Wartburg, outside of Eisenach in Thuringia, in Germany, and anticipated spending most of our time at the Wartburg Castle looking at Luther relics and places where he sat and hearing the story about Junker Jorg and the translation of the New Testament into German. And instead, it was a celebration that particular year of Elizabeth, St. Elizabeth, and her work as you said, as a philanthropist, and particularly the efforts that she was involved in helping the poor and the sick in central Germany in the years of the first part of the 1200s when she lived. Fascinating person who had been, the date of her birth is 1207, and at the age of four, she was basically had her marriage arranged to a German prince, even though she was from Hungary. And the whole idea of the arrangement, of course, was to solidify political alliances at that point in time between Thuringia and Hungary. and as a young, very young one, girl still, then of course was sent up to Germany, grew up in the context of the family in which she would later be formally brought into by virtue of marriage, and at the age of 14 then was formally speaking married to Prince Ludwig, and enjoyed marriage with him. Apparently all the reports of their marriage are that it was for the time particularly a very strong one, but found herself widowed at a very young age, 20 or 21, and from that point forward, even though she had three children by that point in time, she also committed herself to the care of the sick and the poor, and as such became already during her life thought of as a saintly woman, and then after her death was actually canonized and moved into the ranks of Roman Catholic saints.
So this is a good example of someone who, well, both in a historical sense, is part of this long influence of Christianity, as Dr. Alvin Schmidt would call it, where would we have something like hospitals were it not for this kind of philanthropy or this kind of thinking on the part of individual Christians who had the means, but also a person who was willing to part with what was rightfully hers by marriage, considerable wealth for, mm-hmm. for the sake of the poor. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, it's in the tradition in the 13th century of an increasingly complex society, the growth time in terms of the population in Germany, and as a result, not surprisingly, that brought some social problems along with it, one of which was poverty, and along with poverty, typically, you get sickness as well. What distinguished her in many ways was the point you just made there, that she was willing to use not only her influence as a royal, but also her affluence, and to dedicate significant sums of money for the sake of those who just didn't have the ability to care for themselves, didn't have the resources to provide for themselves. And this is, in many ways, is a unique thing, because as these institutions are developing in the latter part of the Middle Ages, later on, Luther will pick up on this theme and really say that a person like Elizabeth, well, not her specifically, but people like Elizabeth who took advantage of the opportunities that they had, really were carrying out their vocation in a unique way for the sake of others. In other words, being a saint in the best sense of the word, not in the sense of one who intercedes on behalf of another person for their spiritual welfare specifically, but rather one who uses the gifts God has provided them in behalf of their neighbor who is in need. And in that respect, acts as Christ to that person, a little Christ, as Luther often put it.
I think that people who work for the church, so to speak, might have a unique perspective on this. I mean, both you and I survive on the kindness of strangers, on essentially patronage. Everybody who is employed in full-time church work essentially does. Talk about how, although the church includes all sorts of people, there is a long tradition of this kind of patronage of people with means who support the ongoing work of the church, be it in acts of mercy, social welfare, or in the direct preaching of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's we see it obviously in the scriptures themselves, and it's very clear with a person like St. Paul, for example, who at certain points says, "Well, you know, I've learned to be content with much and with little," but he also is very explicit about saying the worker is worthy of his wages. Where do those come from? They come from people who have the means to support the work of the gospel, and that is the case throughout the history of Christianity. One of the interesting things about Christianity is that it has hasn't insisted that people of means give up all of their means. Sure, there are instances where Jesus challenges, for example, the rich young man who's convinced of his own worthiness, where Jesus says, "Well, let's see how far you're actually willing to go. Give up everything and follow me, and then we'll talk." And the man, of course, fails that challenge. But in other cases where we see very clearly that, Jesus recognizing the poor you will always have with you, and who will take care of these folks other than the people who do have the means to help? And so throughout church history, that'll be a theme that we see constantly replayed, where the goods of the church will be distributed on behalf of folks who have less. And, of course, here you probably can guess that one of my heroes in this respect is my namesake, St. Lawrence himself, who was martyred as he refused to give up the treasures of the church, which were being cultivated for the sake of those who were in need. And when challenged by the Roman secular authorities, he said to give over the treasures of the church. He pointed to the poor and said, "These are the treasures of the church," and as a result, paid with his life. But there are other instances we could multiply very, very easily where people moved by the gospel, give of themselves in significant, remarkable ways for the sake of others, both in terms of acts of mercy, acts of charity, and service on behalf of the neighbor in a myriad of ways.
So finally then, Larry, with about a minute, why should the church continue to set aside a day to remember even the more obscure, although in her time not obscure, even someone like St. Elizabeth?
I think the Lutheran confessions speak very well and clearly to us on this point, that the remembering the manner in which God has worked through people in remarkable ways, holding that example before us, and in some ways challenging us, or at least reminding ourselves, of how those people have worked with the gifts God has given them, then gives us an example, a very powerful example, for how we ourselves can serve using the various and sundry gifts that God has given to us, whether that be by means of the financial resources we have or whatever other gifts we have that God has blessed us with.
Dr. Larry Rast is professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Todd. Blessings to you.
When we come back, we'll talk with Scott Klusendorf about a Minnesota couple using an online vote to decide whether or not to abort their baby. Stay tuned.
For Christ-centered, cross-focused worship and preaching, come to St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. This is Pastor Charles Henriksen inviting you to join us on Sunday mornings for divine service at 9 o'clock and Bible class at 10:15. St. Matthew's is located in the town of Bon Terre, about a half hour south of St. Louis. For more information, visit us online at stmatthewbt.org. That's stmatthewbt.org.
You'll find Christ-centered, cross-focused sermons from the Old Testament in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, the Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. These sermon texts are written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more about this resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.